Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Paul's addressing the problem of divisions in the Corinthian church as his first topic of discussion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, has led into an examination of what is biblical evangelism. Now, you might wonder how that topic developed out of the first topic, but it's pretty easy to follow if you are remembering what Paul did here in addressing the problem of divisions. The problem was a matter of attachment to different personalities, different gospel preachers, different church leaders. Some said, I'm of Paul, others I'm of Apollos, others I am of Cephas, all of whom were solid spiritual leaders, good, faithful preachers, and who themselves were in harmony with one another. There was no rivalry between them, but in some strange way, though not so strange, because this is one of the results of our fallen nature as descendants of fallen Adam, people had gathered around different leaders and championed those leaders and then were wrangling and disputing among themselves on the basis of their favorite leaders when the leaders themselves had not promoted that, did not approve of that, didn't foster that in any way, and yet it developed this divisive spirit, this cliquish spirit within the church. And so Paul addressed this by asking a series of questions, such as, did Paul die? Was he crucified? Was I crucified? I, Paul, crucified for your sins? Obviously not. Were any of you baptized into the name of Paul? Clearly not. And then he talked a little bit about baptism and made the statement in verse 17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. And that's where we get into the subject of biblical evangelism, where in verse 17, Paul tells us what is the human part of evangelism, man's participation, man's responsibility in the work of evangelism. And then in verses 18 through 25, he develops a good understanding of God's part in the work of evangelism. So that's where all of this has taken us, and we will return to it on this Monday, April 26th. As you have been able to join us by the grace of God, and we thank God for that, and as some of you have been willing to help us financially, and we're very grateful for that. So, man's part is to proclaim the gospel, pure and simple. And if you don't keep it simple, if you don't keep it pure, if you don't focus upon the gospel as the way of evangelism, what we are supposed to do in the work of evangelism, then you are in danger of making the cross of Christ void by your deviations from the simple proclamation of the gospel, by your addition of other things that actually turn out to weaken the gospel rather than to strengthen it. But then there are the divine elements in the work of evangelism, God's part. And I'm just going to walk you through the things we've already looked at very quickly. Paul tells us we need to understand the reason for differing results, verse 18, why proclaiming the same gospel to two different people has differing results, or may have differing results. It often does. And we are prone to think that the differing results has something to do with something within, what should I say, the human response of those people to the gospel. And that's not totally wrong, but it's not fundamentally correct. Or it has something to do with a better presentation in one case than in the other. When you're talking about personal evangelism, I did a better job on person A. He responded positively. I wasn't up to my best performance on presentation B. He didn't respond positively. I've got to work on a better performance. That's the way we tend to look at it. But as verse 18 tells us, that the difference is because we are dealing with two different categories of people. And in simple terminology, there are some who are in the category of rejectors, and there are others who are in the category of receivers because God has placed them in those categories. That's an understanding we must have. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is a power of God. Two different categories of people. And that explains the difference. Not your skill in presenting the gospel, not your cleverness, not your winsomeness, not your energy, but in one case, you presented it to someone who was in the category of perishing, and in the other case, you presented it to the category of people who are being saved by the power of God. That we need to understand. Furthermore, we need to understand God's purpose to expose human wisdom. As he did in the past, Paul quoting from Isaiah 29:14 and verse 19, and as he's doing in the present, as he tells us in verse 20. He tells us in verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Wise, scribe, disputer. He's describing three different kinds of people, but all of these are terms for the intelligentsia of Paul's day. And Paul tells us that it is God's purpose to expose their supposed human brilliance as foolishness. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? There's a lot of examples of that. We've seen most fairly recently this Me Too movement, where women are gathering, courage and boldness by joining together and saying, I too have been a victim of sexual assault. I too have been mistreated by whatever, Hollywood producers or sports figures or any kind of authority figure, any kind of dominant male in society. And there's no question in my mind that there is a great deal of this. However, the foolishness comes in several areas. Number one, there is never any willingness to link this growth in promiscuity with sexual assault with a greater laxness in the area of sexual promiscuity. We insist on having greater freedom, no morality, no restraints, no cutting down on sexual activity, as long as it is between two consenting adults, and the increase in unwanted sexual advances. And we're not willing to even deal with that. Now, I understand that even when there were higher standards of morality in society, there has always been sexual promiscuity. There have always been those who have taken advantage of defenseless females and so forth, and that's very, very sinful. But the increase in this, the seeming explosion in this, seems to have paralleled the increase in general sexual promiscuity, that we no longer declare that adultery and a fornication are wrong. That's so old-fashioned. That's old fogey. We don't do that anymore. Nor, along these same lines, are we willing to say there can be any connection between sexual assault and provocative dress and so forth. You cannot go there. You cannot in any way assign even a little bit of the blame, not even 5% of the blame or 10% of the blame, to a woman who appears to be inviting sexual activity by the way she's dressing and behaving. But no. We can't go there. Now, I know that's just one example, but it seems to me like that's a good example of what Paul is talking about here. The so-called wisdom of the age, which is actually foolishness. The wisdom is that we are going to clamp down in this one area. We're going to put the spotlight on this kind of unwanted sexual advances and highlight it in the Me Too movement, and we will address it that way. We will reduce it that way, but we can't say that sexual promiscuity in general is wrong. We can't say that being sexually provocative in the way you dress and look is wrong or has any connection to this whatsoever. You can't do that. You can't do that. Isn't that foolish? Doesn't that show you that the wisdom of man turns out to be foolishness so much of the time? And Paul is telling us that the gospel is designed to expose the folly of human wisdom. The wise, the scribe, the disputer, the intelligentsia of this age is never going to be impressed with the gospel. It seems like foolishness to them, but all the while, the gospel is being proclaimed and almost under the radar of vaunted human wisdom, it keeps reaching people. People are responding to it. People are being saved. While the intelligentsia scorns, scoffs, ignores, minimizes, sidelines anything that has to do with the gospel, it's a bunch of foolishness, and all the while it keeps going on and proving that it is the power of God unto salvation. People are being saved in spite of the negative response of the so-called wise of this world. God designed the gospel to expose the folly of so-called human wisdom. It looks like foolishness, but it's actually divine power at work. Isn't that interesting? Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.